Leviticus chapter 27. I got a few minutes here to finish up our study, then we'll jump to the New Testament next week. So plan to do that. Leviticus chapter 27. Now what's fascinating is as we come to the end of the book, technically it's not the end of the book, right? Because the first five books are really one book. I know we divide Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, those five into five books, but the Jews saw it as one book, so really it's not the end of the book technically. Moses wrote the one book, the prophet Moses, right? The great prophet. We oftentimes don't think of him as a prophet, but God said that he was the prophet. He brought the law. And it's fascinating, while this isn't the end, this is the end of this section, it's also the end of the law, the last verse there in chapter 37, reminding us these are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. So you should see, actually, halfway through Leviticus, about chapter 20, right, where he begins giving the law, and then this combined together. That's why it's all repeated in Deuteronomy, which is the second giving of the law. And it was given a second time to a second generation that was born in the wilderness over those 40 years when they were doing laps because of their lack of faith. And that generation heard the law before they went into the promised land. This is the first generation. They've now heard all the law, all the commandments, everything God requires, realizing that he's holy and we're not. And if you're going to approach him, praise God, he made a provision for that, a tabernacle, a place where we could go worship. And praise the Lord, he made a way that we could approach him, though it was severely limited, right? We've seen that. You couldn't. God is holy. He's separated. He's holy other. And so he's separated from us, and that's what worship demonstrated in the tabernacle and the temple, all that's demonstrated. And then the way you had to approach him, I mean, if you didn't come, you don't come empty-handed. You bring something with you when you worship the Lord, a sacrifice, because, you know, you can't approach a God as a sinner without some sacrifice on your behalf, some covering, something to protect you in a sense from his holiness, because he's holy other. And so all of this is a provision God's made. And so we're grateful that all of these things, when you look at Jesus, he fulfills all these things, all these requirements. Praise the Lord. But what's fascinating about the end of the book and the significance, knowing God is holy, he's told us how to approach him. He's told us not just the facility, the place where we go and draw near to him, and how that happens through a priest with the sacrifice. But even more so, here he talks at the very end about vows, commitments, things that are dedicated to him. And that if you commit something to the Lord, if you make a vow or bring a tithe, Leviticus started this way by bringing a sacrifice. There's some that were required, there are some that were voluntary. But those offerings that one presented, this is talking about something totally different. Those normal sacrificial offerings over in chapters 1 through 7, this is someone who wants to express their devotion to the Lord. And so in doing so, they might make a commitment. They might make a vow. Now, it's not a sin to make a vow. Understand that. It's not a sin. The sin is to make a vow and what? Not complete it. That's why in Ecclesiastes it'll say this: draw near to hear, not to speak. Think about that for a moment, right? Draw near to the house of the Lord. Draw near to hear. Hear what? The preacher? No. To hear the word that the preacher or the priest shares. To hear the teaching of the law. To teaching of the word. Hear what God has to say. That's why we want to open the word and hear God speak. That should be our heart's desire when we gather to worship. What does God have to say to me today? If I come with an expectation, I want to hear the living God speak. I want to hear what God has to say into my life. He'll have something for us. We have to come with that expectation. I want to hear what God has to say. And oh Lord, bless the pastor, bless the Sunday school teacher, the one who's going to open the word. Bless those who are going to teach the word and take it seriously. Draw near to hear, not to speak. Now, we should open our mouths in worship. That doesn't mean be silent, okay? We do need to open our mouths. How so? Well, we should open our mouths, one, in praising him, singing, celebrating. That's a highlight here in this chapter. You'll see that we should draw near. And part of the way you draw near is when someone devoted something to God, they were praising God and they were giving thanks to God for that particular thing that they devoted to him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it will say that we have a responsibility. One of the sacrifices that God wants from you and from me is the fruit of lips that say, thank you, thank you. Now, how often have you said thank you, God, right? Can we thank him enough? I mean, really, you stop and think about that. How often, I mean, it's easy to open our mouths and say, God, I need. And that's legitimate. We should bring our burdens to the Lord. We should bring our, as children of God, we should ask. Because our Father gives good gifts. It's his nature. He wants you and I to ask of him. But he also, it's good to hear thank you too. Amen? I mean, we know this, raising kids, right? Give me. Amen. All right. We're not going to go down that path too far. We want them to say thank you every now and then. Amen. So that it shows a heartbeat, right, of gratitude and appreciation for the provision and what has been provided. And that's important. Well, let's model that for our children, that we do that often and frequently. By the way, we praise the Lord and we have the fruit of lips that say, thank you, God. By the way, that will radically change whatever circumstance you and I are going through, no matter how dreary and overcast it may be. No pun intended with all the skies. But know how bad it may be in those circumstances, start to say thank you. And even the preacher needs to be reminded of that, to say, thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm grateful. That's one way to open our lips, is open our lips in praising him in song. Open our lips in saying, God, this is my request of you. But here's one way we sometimes people would open their lips, and they would make a vow. They would make a vow to God. They would vow something to him in gratitude, perhaps. Or they would vow something, you know, sometimes, God, if you'll do this, have you ever done this? Lord, if you'll get me out of this sticky wicket, right, I'll, yeah, what, you fill in the blank. Some people may, in fact, you go over to the book of Judges, you see a hasty vow that was made and the consequences of that. Be very careful what you vow to the Lord. In fact, again, as Solomon would say over in the Proverbs, beware about devoting something rashly, quickly to the Lord and afterwards inquiring, looking into the matter and saying, God, did you want me to give that to you or not? Be very careful about that, because we have to pay what we vow. And so when we make those vows, listen, sometimes when something was dedicated to the Lord. Now, Jesus, of course, had to confront the Pharisees in his day, because when someone said korban, when they dedicated something to the Lord, the priest held the people accountable to it. You said you're giving that to the Lord. You need to give it to him. And they were really stealing from the people in many ways is what they were doing. So be careful about what you vow to the Lord. Now, sometimes you might in distress vow something to the Lord and offer something to him. And he's going to mention in here several different things that people might vow. It isn't just an animal or a creature. God, here, I want to give this to you as thanks for what you have done for me and asking you to do something for me. Redeemable things included people. Could you dedicate someone to the Lord? Could you dedicate something to the Lord? Well, there's a couple examples of that. The prophet Samuel, you remember him? His mama dedicated him to the Lord. If you give me a baby, what will I do? Give it back to you. And she did that. Oh my goodness. Samson's parents, they took a vow and God blessed them. And so you see that time and again. And so in verses 1 through 8, he talks about if you value someone, if they're dedicated to the Lord, if a worshiper dedicates himself, a servant, maybe a member of his family, well, you say, why would you dedicate someone to the Lord, a person? I mean, you got the Levites, right? God's already set aside a tribe. They're taking care of all the worship. They're taking care of all the things. But in some cases, people were dedicated that way. Others, listen, you could redeem them and you would pay money to redeem them from that vow, from that commitment. And that money was then used for the tabernacle, for the service in the temple. And so you could do that. And so in verses 1 through 8, Every person is precious. They all have value. Now, don't look at it and go, well, why is there more money worth for the men, not the women? That doesn't, God's not discriminating there. Please don't look at it that way. It was more an equivalence of what they were worth for work and labor, and most likely. And so it's not so much that men are worth more than women. I will tell you that's not true. And the highest calling is to be a mom. And so realize that. But you could dedicate and vow that. And if you wanted to redeem that back, then you paid a price. You could also do it with an animal. Dedicate an animal unto the Lord. And animals were supposed to be dedicated to the Lord. Now, you couldn't dedicate an animal that already belonged to the Lord, because then that'd be like double dipping, if you know what I mean, right? It's already belonged to the Lord. Well, I'm going to give him this one. No, that's not, you can't do that. If something already belonged to him, like the firstborn, right, then especially from the flock, from the herd, then you couldn't say, well, now I'm going to come and give this to the Lord, and about, you're actually cheating God. Don't do that. But property could be dedicated. It could be redeemed. You just had to add 20% evaluation to it. Just like the animals, you would have to value them and then pay an additional 20% for that valuation. Now, the amazing thing is we don't have to do this anymore, because Jesus is the one that was actually dedicated for us. Praise God tonight. Amen. And everything is tied up in him, so we can celebrate that tonight and rejoice that Christ has fulfilled all these vows and dedications. And so, really, my responsibility, your responsibility, is devoting ourselves to the Lord and being in Christ and realizing He is the value of everything that's been given to God. And as such, we should rejoice in that. That doesn't mean that there's some things that you couldn't redeem, that God said you can't redeem these things. Again, the firstborn of the beast, they were already his. The things that he put under the ban, the spoils of war, certain things in the battle that they, when they went into the promised land, and according to Joshua 6, they were put under the ban. God said, don't you touch those, don't you take those, don't have anything to do with that. It actually belongs to me. And it says accursed in the King James, but that doesn't mean that it was cursed by God. It belonged to him. They had no right to claim it. So you couldn't redeem that. The tithes of the produce, remember, those already belong to the Lord. He gets the first of the fruits from that. So you couldn't do that. So you had to be very careful. If you're going to make a vow to the Lord, if you're going to make an oath, if you're going to devote something to him, don't do it rashly. Think through what you're going to do. God expects us, if you make a commitment, to follow through with it and to be honest in all your dealings, not just with one another, but particularly with him. I know we have the art of the deal today. Have y'all heard a lot of that lately? You know, this guy, this president of the United States, right? But there's no art of the deal with God. Hello? When you commit something to him, you have to pay what you vow. And what's amazing is, stop and think about it. This is the end of the law. This is all the requirements of what God has for his people. Is God going to keep his end of the bargain in the law? Absolutely. Always. And what they had to realize is, listen, just as he keeps his word, here's the very end of it all. You got to keep yours too. It's part of being the covenant people of God. It's part of being in that covenant community. It's part of being his special people, his holy nation, his royal priesthood. And what God wanted was for them to keep their words. If they said they're going to do something, do it. Follow through with it. It's a healthy reminder here at the end. Realize God is holy and we're not. Because he's holy, listen, realize he's set apart. In any means by which we can come to him, anything we can do, praise God that he's opened that door for us to do that. If you enter into that door and go to worship him and commit yourself to him and commit your words to him and commit stuff to him and say, God, I'm going to do this. God, I'm going to give this to you. God, this belongs to you. Please follow through with that. There was an opportunity to redeem it and buy it back if you did. You could do that. But if you make a vow, follow through. And that's what he wanted his people to understand. This is a concern. Listen, it's not just for the Levites. It's for the worshiper. And like the Israelites, we're called to be holy We're called to a holiness that pertains to all of our life and all of our possessions and everything that we have, realizing we're just stewards of all that God's entrusted to us, and our responsibility is to be faithful with it. But if we commit something to the Lord, may we follow through with whatever we vow. Amen. Draw near to what? Hear, not to speak. Realize I need to hear what he has to say and think about it carefully before I promise or commit anything to him, because he's going to expect you and I to pay what we vow. He'll say this all throughout. When they consecrate a vow, follow through. Also notice all these valuations, whether you dedicate your home, verse 14, whether you dedicate a part of your field, verse 16, whether you dedicate an animal, verse 9, all of this is just a recognition. I know the one that gave it to me, and I want to give a portion of it back to you. It's always a joy, listen, to not hold on to these things. It's good and healthy to offer them back to the Lord and realize they actually are his. And that's a healthy thing as well. So let's pray tonight that we will live in holiness with our God. We'll be very careful about the things that we promise and say we're going to do. And we'll follow through with anything we've already promised to him tonight. Father, as we consider this tonight, we realize you command us not only to worship you, but to be obedient. God, you bless our obedience. You bless our faithfulness. Lord, forgive us when we don't follow through and do what we say we're going to do. God, I'm guilty of that. Forgive me. And I'm thankful, Jesus, that you did follow through and do everything you vowed. Thank you that you redeemed us, you purchased us, and you saved us. Our faith rests in your righteousness, not ours. But tonight, Lord, help us to learn from this tonight that when we come to worship, that our lips will praise you, our lips will thank you. We will sing and magnify your name, but we'll also be careful, Lord, what we commit to do. And if we have, we'll follow through. Lord, we love you tonight. And Lord, we give thanks that we have the privilege to be your people. And most importantly, thank you. Even though you're holy other, you've made a way for us to come to you and worship you through Jesus. May we live faithfully for him and for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.